Today's reading is in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. John 3, verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God sent has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. This is an interesting section of Scripture that reveals to us several truths. And when it starts out, Jesus and his disciples are going through the countryside, and John remains where he was near the Jordan and is baptizing. But we also see that Jesus and his disciples are also reaching people, and people are being baptized. And so there becomes this question about, you know, who should be the one doing all this baptizing? So it's evident that the disciples of John are thinking in a very, you know, carnal way, an earthly way, when they come to him with this question, because either there's some competitiveness or maybe some jealousy or maybe some concern for their teacher that he's not going to be recognized for what he's doing and who he is. But they're thinking from that point of view of, you know, a teacher is great based on the number of followers. John reveals to him, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I was only here to prepare the way. And so he tries to communicate to them how much greater Jesus is and how he deserves to have that success. In fact, the level of success that Jesus has is less than what he deserves. And I think we would all agree with that. His disciples, John's disciples, also make this statement, all are going to him, maybe indicating that some people were, you know, going from following John the Baptist to now following Jesus. And that's okay too. John had no problem with that. In fact, that's what John wanted to happen. After all, he was there to prepare the way. He was there to, sort of get some things started in the minds of the people so that they were a little more receptive to the message that Jesus brings. Going back to this carnal and earthly way of their thinking, they may be considering, well, if John and his influence continues to diminish, then what will be the end? What ends up happening? Will John just sort of disappear and no longer be seen anymore? His ministry is over. His preaching is over, and then where are we? That might be in their minds as well, but John's not concerned about this. You know, verse 27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. John basically says, none of this was mine, and any success that I had, it wasn't mine, it was God's, it was from heaven. And wow, what a wonderful perspective that is, that there's no reason to feel threatened because none of it's his to begin with. That we would say those are John's disciples. John would say, no, they are followers of God. They're not mine. They don't belong to me. They're not in any way mine. And then as John describes, you know, this Christ being so much greater, Jesus, he communicates to them using this idea of a bride and a bridegroom and the bridegroom's friend. And he shows what joy he has over seeing not only Jesus coming onto the scene and starting his teaching, but he has great joy in seeing Jesus accomplishing the mission that he came to do and garnering disciples along the way, followers. I don't know exactly how much John knew about what was going to be the end for Christ. As far as I can recall, I can't think of any passage that indicates that he understood that Jesus would be crucified. And I'm, at least in a little way, thankful on his behalf that he didn't witness that. But nonetheless, I hope that he would have been able to see still that spiritual perspective and put it all in its proper place. But you get down to verse 28, and John says, you know, I told you I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him, here's John standing and hearing Jesus, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase and I must decrease. He knows exactly what his position is and what he's supposed to be doing. He doesn't stop teaching, by the way. John keeps declaring the word of God all the way up until the point that he's beheaded. He never stops. So this is not a point in which John says, oh, good, I can stop wandering around in the wilderness. I'm done talking and preaching and everything. I can go relax. No, John keeps working. John keeps working all the way up until the end. Verse 31, he's describing the position of Jesus over him and everything else. He who comes from above is above all. This is Jesus who has come to this earth, deity dwelling bodily on this earth. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all, and he bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. So there's a point in which we can see that John understands that there's some rejection that Jesus is going to go through. And John's already experienced some of that rejection. You know, he's already dealt with the Pharisees questioning him about what he's doing, why he's doing it. And he knows that Jesus is going to experience rejection as well. But he doesn't stay focused on that. He stays focused on the joy of seeing Jesus fulfill this role and the joy of handing things over to him. You know, he's done his job of preparing the way. And then he points out that the Son has everything. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand, verse 35. And then verse 36, whoever believes in the Son is eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. I think this is also one of those verses that reveal to us that when we come across believe in the Bible, in almost every case, it is synonymous with obedience. It's not just a belief with no action. It's a belief that is proven through action. And so whenever we talk to those who says, all I have to do is believe, well, that might be true as long as we're defining belief as also obedience. And so whoever does not obey shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. I think about John in this case, and I think that he has an attitude that we really need to have. You know, as a preacher, as a member of the church, a member of the body of Christ, my thoughts often are on the fact that I'm not doing my work or my ministry. I'm doing the work of God. I'm doing the work of Jesus. My job is to point people to Jesus. My job is to point them to him and help them understand what his will is. Nothing else. I'm not here to gain notoriety or fame. I'm not here to gain followers, you know, followers of Daryl. No, I am here to help people find Jesus so that they can have what I myself have found. And that's what all of us need to do. So perhaps that's what we need to pray for today, that we always have that humility of spirit, that we're always pointing people toward Jesus and helping them find that narrow path. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.